Genesis 39, we continue our survey and our study. Joseph, a man in God's redemptive plan. I'll tell you something. We keep reading that Joseph was a prosperous man. Whatever he did, God caused to prosper. His master put everything in his hand, all of his money, all of his wherewithal, all of his goods. And sometimes the enemy, if he can't get a man with money, he would try women. And many a man failed with both, but many a man was good with money, integrity, but when it came to women, he fell. And we can learn much from this man, Joseph, and see the things in life, not only with men, but with women that bring us down. And some of us go to the workplace and we may be a little successful and we get beside ourselves. And the next thing you know, the devil bring us down. So this is a very good practical lesson for us tonight. And that's why I have chosen to consider it. I was about to skip it, but because it is practical, I want to speak a little about it. Joseph, a man in God's redemptive plan. We read in verse 1 of Genesis 39, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, was a military man. He was chief of staff, as you've heard before. He was a powerful man, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Genesis 39:1. As I said, I was about to forego this chapter, but I felt I would have been cheating on others, on you, not myself, because I pretty much understand what is here, but I would have been cheating you because this chapter is not only practical, but it is relevant to us here tonight. We saw clearly how the events in Joseph's life relates to God's redemptive plan. We shared that last time, and we pretty much know this. But Joseph is not only a type of Christ. Sometimes we forget this. We like this. We like to see the typology with Christ. Joseph was not only a type of Christ, he was a type of the believer. And here in Genesis 39, we are given some lessons about him and how he faced temptation as a believer. How Joseph responded to sin and temptation is how you and me ought to respond. It's nothing new. It's nothing spectacular. That's how we ought to respond. That's how God expects us to respond. We may not be enticed, as Joseph was enticed by the wife of another person. This would limit our application only to men. But we all face other enticements as professing believers. We are different. And Satan knows where we are. As well as the Lord. And he brings us to those points in our lives. It may be a piece of cake. When I say a piece of cake, I mean a literal piece of cake that we can't seem to lick. We can't beat a piece of cake, an extra slice of cake. Some of us struggle with that. And we keep piling up the pounds and the sugar. And yet we are overcome by a little piece of cake. As Marcel will tell you, we could sit there all day. I don't even have to look at it. But I may have a problem with a piece of cake. I may have a problem with something else. And we must be able to handle the things that God bring into our lives. There are things in this world that will appeal to our unredeemed senses, our flesh. The Bible, you know, the woman is frequently used to represent the apostate world. Babylon, the harlot. Proverbs 7 warned the young man of the enticements and the ways of the strange woman. The strange woman, of course, is the world. her allurements. It's not only Solomon, the proverb is not speaking mainly about men being enticed with a strange woman. It's talking about the Christian being enticed by the world. And the world will entice. And we are lying if we say that we don't have enticements from this world. An unconverted person does not sense temptations. They don't know what is temptation. They don't. Joseph's temptation is a serious one. That was a test, not only of his purity, but his faithfulness. He could have fallen easily to Potiphar's wife, and no one would have known about it. It was just the two of them. The opportunity was there. And you know what that mean. If you are a young man and you grow up like I grew up, you would know where I am coming from. But I'm not going to get into these things. Instead of Joseph being enticed, he resisted. And he paid the price for resisting. As we normally would when we resist sin. We would get the insults from our peers, from our families. They'll poke fun at us. We ain't ready for that. So we fall into sin. It's often our lot when we shun temptation. And some people, as I say, don't know what is temptation. And not many in the church are willing to pay the price for standing on principle and in truth. There's a verse that I had committed to memory when I was a young Christian that Maharis taught me. Still remember it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also provide a way of escape. Therefore, my beloved, flee idolatry. You see, when men teach you the word of God, it sticks in your head. Beloved men, pastors, and we should let the word of God stick. And Maharis taught me that when I was in my deepest waters in life. Long time ago. I don't think Marcel was in the picture yet. And he taught me that verse. Sit with me. He taught me that verse. Still here. He says, God will make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my beloved, this is your responsibility, flee idolatry. And by the way, all sin is characterized as idolatry. Idolatry. Joseph found a way, children, of escape. And that way of escape, of course, is the Lord Jesus. He's always the escape. Following him, abiding in his word. And everyone does not see temptation. They see opportunity. Mom is gone. Dad is gone. Yeah. They don't see temptation. They see an opportunity to sin. To violate God's word. Child of God knows what is temptation. That's the difference. Temptation is a desire or an impulse that we all have to violate the will of God. It's a desire or an impulse to do something that is against the will of God. In Joseph's case, he was tempted to violate the second leaf of the law. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. He knew that. Potiphar's wife didn't know that. Recapping quickly, you remember Joseph was brought down. Joseph was rescued from the pit. Terrible ordeal as a young man in a pit. And I'm not going to get into that. I know what it means. I know what it signifies. I don't want to get into it. He was rescued from this dungeon, this pit. But this bad experience and ordeal of Joseph did not end at the pit. He was sold as a slave and brought down to the house of Potiphar, where he became a steward of his house. And Brother Colin read that. And God was prospering this man. Everything he touched turned to gold. Joseph also behaved like a good steward. In charge of his master's house, everything he took care of, and you and I, brethren, as men in the church, should take note of Joseph, how he was as a steward. He didn't, I just turned on the light there. And I don't know what happened. But we have to be stewards. And we should take a message from Joseph. Joseph, that wouldn't have happened to Joseph in Potiphar's house. He was a very good steward. And he behaved himself very wisely. But in our lesson this evening, we see how God brings his people in the path of temptation. God brings his people in the path of temptation. Nigel, you're laughing. He brought you. I can see he's bringing you in the path of temptation. But this lesson's for you. Okay. It may appear to you that it is God's will as he brings us in the path. Verse 39, chapter 39, 1 and 2, I mean. He was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer, Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. Now, you know who the Ishmaelites were. You know who they were. Which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. I'm often baffled with this verse. Joseph, slave, not a cent in his pocket. But he's a prosperous man. That is because you and I measure prosperity with dollars and cents. Joseph was a spiritually prosperous man. He was God's man. That's why he was prosperous. Not a cent in his pocket. But God saw him as prosperous. And that's why Joshua 1:8 tells us, this book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate on it, and thou will have good success, and thou will make thy way prosperous. That's the prosperity God is talking about. But in 39:1-2, he's brought into the path of temptation. There's a quick observation here to consider, brethren. Joseph did not go down to Egypt of his own volition. You see the text. He was brought down to Egypt. There's a difference in going down to Egypt and being brought down to Egypt. There's a big difference, Mr. Peters. In Genesis 12:10, you may remember, the Bible said that Abraham journeyed and went down into Egypt. Now, God did not call Abraham to Egypt. He called him to Canaan. And the next thing we read about Abraham is that Abraham was conniving with his wife to lie. And that's what happened when we go down to Egypt. On our own recognizance, our own will, that's what would happen. We would end up defending ourselves. When we go out of the way to go into Egypt, we often find ourselves out of the way of God. And by the way, you should be able to make the connection. If you can, you're not spiritual. You should be able quickly to make the connection. And I should ask you, what connection can you make? Egypt, as you and I know, is a picture of the unsaved world. You know this, you've heard it several times. When we go out of the way, we also find ourselves out of the way of God. In our context, we're told differently about Joseph. He was brought down. He was brought in the pathway of temptation. God brings his people in the pathway of temptation. But you may argue with me saying, wait a minute, didn't Jesus say we are to pray that God does not lead us into temptation? Then some of you might take that verse and run off with it. Yes, God says, lead us not into temptation. Pray that way. But the word temptation in the context has nothing to do with temptation in the flesh, impulse, desires. The word perasmos is the word judgment. And the prayer is, lead us not into judgment, but deliver us from evil. God will be contradicting himself if he were to tell us to pray not to be led into temptation, when the Bible says we will be tempted. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taking you that, but such as is common. You see, the problem with us is we don't harmonize the Bible. We run with verses out of context without studying, which is dangerous. And that's why we need people to teach us the Word of God. Because we don't know what we think we know. We are to pray that God do not bring us into judgment. The Lord Jesus also was brought down to Egypt as a child, Matthew 2, verse 13. He was brought there by his earthly parents when fleeing Herod. So you see the match. Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Jesus was brought down to Egypt. But why would God bring Joseph into Potiphar's house, knowing that Potiphar's wife is a fox? Why would God do this to this young, vulnerable man? Well, because God knows his people. God knows where to send his people. God knows what to trust his people with. God never brings his people in the path of temptation to sin, but to bring out their faithfulness for his glory. The jeweler proves his metals in the fire, not to destroy it, but to reveal what it is. And temptation reveal you and me for what we are. And temptation is good because it may show you what you are not when it comes. And that is the time that you should consult God. Temptation is good. God brings us in that path for our good and for his glory. Bible says in James 1, 12 and 13, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he is approved, when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love him. When he triumphs, God gave him a promise. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. This is a different meaning of the word. As a matter of fact, the word means God is untemptable. God doesn't tempt us to sin, to evil. He doesn't tempt us for this reason. Now, how do you reconcile this verse that God does not tempt anyone with Genesis 22, where the Bible says that God tempted or tested Abraham? Is there a contradiction? No. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. There's no contradiction here. Abraham's temptation was to prove who he was. Abraham was called a friend of God. He was a true friend of God. It was to prove that Abraham believed God and it was counted, imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham believed with that little boy, Isaac, that God, since God brought him from the dead, literally, that God was able to raise him from the dead. As Abraham was offering that boy, as about to offer him, Abraham was doing it, believing, Lord, if you tell me to kill him, you're certainly going to raise him from the dead. And God said, wait, don't touch him. I have seen Abraham, for by this, in blessing, I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply you. And in you, in Christ, in your seed, you and I would be blessed. Abraham, because of what Abraham did, God made that promise. And you and I are blessed because of a man. Men in God's redemptive plan bring blessing to the whole church. Which part are you playing in God's redemptive plan? Which part are you playing? Are you playing games? Some of you are. This is a powerful lesson tonight, and I'm not sure if I will be able to finish it, but I will try my best. Another man we can consider is Job, was brought in the path of temptation. God brought Job through the mill. Sometimes when I read Job, the book of Job, can a man really suffer these things? We know that Job also is a picture of the Lord Jesus. But God gave Satan clearance to assault Job. He brought him in the path of temptation. It was for Job to prove his integrity. Bible keeps saying, in all of this, Job never lost his integrity as a man. As a man, Job. The Bible says that Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. God tests are to prove the worth of his subjects. Satan's test is for man to dishonor the Lord Jesus. There's a difference between the two. Had Joseph succumbed to Potiphar's wife and her seduction, there would not have been redemption in Joseph's family. And many times, you and I do not see the broader picture from God's point of view when sin appears attractive. We don't see. I don't see. I often have to fall on my face and ask God for forgiveness. James also said, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. You see the temptation, how it is defined? Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, when it is finished, brings forth death. Every sin that you and I committed hatch here. We think about it, we wind it up, we cherish it, we cuddle it, then we execute it. But remember, temptation, when it is hatched and conceived, brings forth death. Point number two, temptation can be persistent. God brings us in the path. Point number two in our study, temptation can be persistent. Verse 10, I drop down to verse 10. We'll be using selective verses. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, or to be with her. It's quite a difference with, remember David's son? Which one was this now on Tamar? We got all these stories that we read about in the Bible. Why didn't God deal with him this way? Here we are told that she pressed him day by day. Day by day means that there was persistence with the wife of Potiphar. And we have a real enemy here, by the way, to contend with. And many of us do not even know ourselves and how easily we are enticed to sin. We put ourselves in places and with people that would make sin easy. I often tell Marcel when she's going up to King's Plaza, especially on Saturday, I ain't going up there, man. Oh, okay. Going up there could get a problem for me. And some of you may know what I'm talking about in the mall. Not that I'm afraid, but I'm just not going to place myself, especially a Saturday when I try to get my mind straight. But sin appeals to our senses and to our pride. God also provides the occasion to sin. We see with Joseph that the timing was right. He provides the climate and the opportunity to sin, for sin. Sometimes we relish that climate. We relish the opportunity. The song says, just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us, you and I. And sometimes in the world when I listen to these songs, I know what they're saying. I know what, Marcel, you're laughing. I know what they're saying. I know what these songs are saying. God creates the atmosphere, the party scene, for us to hear these songs, to sing. Sometimes you're in the supermarket and you just laugh. And Colin, I think you know what I'm talking about. When you hear these things, you just remember your sinful past. Thankfully, God came in my life. There's no telling what I would have been, but not for the grace of God. I don't know who some of you, where you're headed. I don't know. He provides the climate. If you think the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes will go away tomorrow, I have news for you. You go all the way to Harare. You leave here, Flatbush. You go on the streets of Harare, Lomagundi, East Gate, West Gate, whichever gate. Same climate. The same. Every year it gets worse. You and I have a battle in dealing with the sin. Like I was saying, maybe a piece of cake. Extra piece of cake. Opposes a temptation to you. You can't see a piece of cake on the table and leave it. You know, you just can't leave it. That is just as sinful as a bottle of alcohol. Our enemy is persistent. He knows our affections. We live in the flesh day by day. Three times Satan tempted Jesus in the three basic ways. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. Pride of life. These are the ways we are tempted. Scripture says the devil left him for a season. And let me remind you, it was for a season. It meant that he was going to come back. And rest assured, tomorrow he'll be back. When you leave this church, he'll be back. These are ways we all will be tempted. The Lord leads us in the pathway of temptation. Two, temptation will be persistent. Paul prayed three times for God to remove the thorn, but whatever it was, we don't know. Three times, God tell him, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You may never reveal, or I may never reveal, we may never reveal to anyone the areas we are struggling with. But what I know is temptation is persistent. John Calvin said this about Joseph. He said, and I quote, Satan's design was to use this woman to ruin the character of this young man. End of quote. Why did God select Joseph among all the other brothers to bring to this ordeal? Because Joseph is a man in God's redemptive plan. He is showcasing this man. He is setting him up as an example. He is not the perfect example. But as a man, as a Christian, we do not have to succumb to sin. Quit with your feeble, foolish excuses. Don't want to hear. Don't want to hear. Don't want to hear. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't want to hear when people come to me with these excuses. God in his providence leads his people in the pathway of temptation to reveal their spiritual quality. Temptation is persistent in the life of the Christian. I will be tempted. I am being tempted. You will be tempted. Finally, temptation will prove character. Temptation will prove character. Verse 11 and 12, it came to pass about this time that that Joseph went into the house to do his business. There was no man of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. You see 1 Corinthians 10, 13, 14. "Therefore, my beloved, flee idolatry." This is what Joseph did. You and I often stick around and debate with sin. And the worst thing some of you young women could do is you decide you stand up on the sidewalk witnessing to a man, and the man with his eyes undressing you as you witness. Undressing you and imagining how you look behind your clothes when God tell you, don't do it. But you think you're more spiritual than God. There's a place to witness to men. And this is a word to some of you young ladies. I've known a lot of men or a lot of women who was witnessing to young men. I know a lot of them. I told you the lesson is practical and relevant. She caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me," left his garment in her hand and fled and got out. Don't debate. Don't stick around in places that are provocative. Many times we linger too long in places with people we need not linger with. And remember I told you something a long time ago about when I was a young Christian. I didn't know anything. I used to work at this factory with this guy. He used to repair the equipment. Took me under his wings. One day we're going home from work. He said to me, "Brian, let's stop at this bar." I went with him to this bar. He said, "I'm gonna buy you a beer." He said, "No, I don't want a beer. I don't drink." He says, "Okay, I'll buy you a Coke." I drink the Coke. I walk over to that place and I said, "Never again would anybody get me in a bar. I'm gonna tell them straight up I'm a Christian." That's what that temptation did to me. I'm gonna tell you, heard me say this right there at this pulpit already. It's true. I said, "You'll never get somebody getting me in a bar in the Red Hook area." And I got a young Christian. I shouldn't have gone with him. And some of you always find yourself in the wrong places. And you never ever say, "The reason why I wouldn't do this is because I love the Lord Jesus." That sounds pretty foolish, but that's what I would say. He's my savior. He saved me from that, Nigel. That's how I would do it. The best way to triumph over temptation is to flee the source of temptation. Paul told Timothy, "Flee youthful lusts." James says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But Presley, I hope you don't go down there and end up in these churches with drums and guitars and flutes. I'm serious. You're all the way from City View and the Big Mouth pastor, but don't forget, there's an eye that see and there's an ear that hear. So I'm talking to you too. Because some of us slick. We go to our island, our country, and we go in these jump up churches and come back here and think that all is well. All is not well if you're not separated. And I want you to know, there are other people down there that talk, and I will hear. Let's be a people that are separated to God from sin unto holiness. I'm not going to tell nobody where to go. You are at liberty. But if you find that you're going to a place that honors the flesh, it's a place you shouldn't go. Or to teach any other doctrine different than what we teach, you shouldn't go. I wouldn't go. I go to Barbados, I go to Pastor Ward Church because he asked me to preach and the people want me to preach. But other than that, going and sitting down there, I think it would be sheer torture. I know Steve Sooner hit the ground. I don't know how he know. I don't know if JetBlue sent him a letter. Pastor Taylor, I hear you around. You ain't come and preach for us? Sure. You don't refuse preaching. But what I'm trying to tell you is that you flee temptation. Triumph by fleeing. Flee, you full lust. Verse 30, it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled. By the way, this is a picture, brother, a beautiful picture that I really can't get into right now. You see the atonement here, what Joseph did, left the garment in her hand. Maybe you'll come back with this some other time. That she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, see, he have brought in an Hebrew. And this is a derogatory term, a Hebrew, unto us to mock us. He came unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice, liar, 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 house on fire. And this is the nature of scandal. And Potiphar and men are more apt to believe their wife than they would believe the truth from a righteous man. Men are more readily quick to believe the lie of a wife than the truth of an honest man. And if you're an honest man, your word means something. The world is ever ready to defame the testimony of the Christian, like this woman. But God was with Joseph. A few more years in jail I have for you, Joseph. There is some work for you to do in jail. Go there. There are two men that you're going to meet that need to hear the gospel. The butler and the baker. I have work for you to do. Joseph was to go there to minister to these two men. One was given a message of damnation. One was given a message of redemption. It was upon this that Joseph was called into Pharaoh's house, promoted to be prime minister. Save the world from starvation. Christ. You believed it. Joseph, a man in God's redemptive plan. We read many times, but the Lord was with Joseph. And this is why Joseph triumphed, brethren. I want you to know this. This is why Joseph was successful. Had Joseph failed this temptation, he would not have been a suitable candidate to be a type of Christ. He would have been disqualified. Moreover, he would not have been the provider of his people. In fact, the whole nation of the Jews would have been barred from entering Egypt because of Joseph's sin. Potiphar was Pharaoh's chief of staff. He was a top man. And at times, we, brethren, as believers, and I put the word in inverted commas, do not see what is at stake when we sin against God. We do not see how our actions affect the whole church. Today, many make sin a light matter. Light. And I often say, sin doesn't grieve some of you men like how it grieved me. That's what I meant. Quiet. Oh, yeah, he did that. He did that, or she did that. So that's strange. That's you. That's not me. Sleepless nights, red eyes, burden on your chest, fighting to preach because of sin. Doesn't affect you that way. Well, I'm not a pastor. Yeah, but you're a Christian. The reproaches that fall on them fall on me. That's what David said. Make sin lightly. These are some deep, deep practical lessons, brethren. Joseph, man in God's redemptive plan. Man of the flesh. Man of blood. Had a Savior. Had an ever-present Holy Spirit. It's where he got his strength. We close with some applications quickly. Jesus, our Savior, was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. The Bible says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We fall into sin, but we can come to the perfect one. Not Joseph, Christ. We can come to him now, just as we are, full of sin, full of guilt. Come to him and ask him for forgiveness. It's a throne of grace, not a throne of judgment. If we are seeking forgiveness and cleansing, it's a throne of grace. But if we are stiff and rebellious, it's a throne of terror. If we remain in our sin. Our Lord was tempted by his own people with a coin. He said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render to God the things that are God's. He was tempted by his own people. He was tempted to retaliate against the mistreatment. He was tempted to forego the cross. If you be the Son of God, come down. He prayed, Father, if it is possible, let this cup be removed from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. He was tempted. Joseph had a cross to bear. A few more years in Potiphar's jail cell was his cross. Did nothing wrong. We have a cross to bear. There is a cross before glory. If we don't bear our cross on this earth, don't expect glory when the Lord comes back. If you cannot suffer for Jesus on this earth, don't expect to reign with him in heaven. You're not going there. You better pray. And I'm serious. Oh, you're judging me? Yes, I'm judging you. I have the right to, based on the word of God. We must bear our cross. If you and I are ashamed of Christ in this world, he will be ashamed of us when he comes. I kid you not. Joseph, a man in God's redemptive plan. Let's pray.
Amen.
Thank you for the wonderful words of life. What a practical book and what a practical subject. Keep us this week from falling. Present us faultless before the throne of God with exceeding joy. Keep us in our experience, Lord, from falling. Daily experiences. Walk with us. Talk with us. Help us. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with you always. Amen.